No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I've heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. So the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so you may love one another. Would you pray with me? Jesus Christ, this morning we begin worship by calling you friend. And what an incredible gift to come before the King of Kings and to be able to say, that is my friend. Because you have chosen us to know you and to love you and to receive love from you. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm 3 days out of kids' camp. And in between my naps, as I told the kids, I've been reflecting on friendship. Because you see all the dynamics of friendship at kids' camp. You see the anxiety that's caused when you're not so sure that your friendships are solid. And it all starts in the church parking lot. Kids nervous about where they're going to sit on their ride to camp. Will they be by their friends, or are they going to be left out in that other car? It intensifies when we arrive at camp and you have to pick your cabin. Even worse, you've got to pick out your bunk bed. The most stressful moment of all. Who's going to sleep next to who? Are my friends near me? Who are my friends? At mealtimes, there's a jockeying for seats every single time. Friends having to be together. At activities, the counselors start numbering off kids for their teams, and you immediately see them trying to manipulate the system, wanting to be on a team with their friends. A friend forgets that her friend's in the bathroom, and she comes out to hear those dreaded words when you're 8 years old, I am not your best friend anymore. There are tears, and there are pain. And 5 minutes later, they're back at it again. Friends. Children already know the frustration of these relationships that come together and fall apart, and come together and fall apart. Kids already know that it is hard being friends. They know that their little hearts are going to get broken if they just keep on putting it out there. And they know it's going to take some work to keep friends. And still, you watch them minute after minute, day after day. They still just keep giving it a try. Because there's something inside of them that says, we need, we want, we have to have friends. And what they sense, we as grown-ups sense it too. Hard as it can be, deep down we know that we need, want, have to have friends to really live. The author of Proverbs says so too. You might be saying, not me, I don't need any friends. You're deceiving yourself. We do. Scripture says so too. And so as we get started this morning, looking at how this ancient book of wisdom can help us with our friendships, a few questions to answer first, just between your heart and God. And be honest in your answers. Are you satisfied with the friendships in your life? Are they truly fulfilling? Be honest. Apart from your family, do you have at least one or two true, genuine friends? The kind of people that you know are going to be there for you no matter what. Who love you sincerely no matter what. And then question number three, are you the kind of friend you want to be? If your response to any of these was not really, or not yet, or I don't really even know what a genuine friend is, then listen up. Proverbs has lots of help for you, and dare I say, for all of us, because no one has nailed this thing called friendship. Proverbs identifies the uniqueness of friendship. Proverbs 17:17, a friend loves at all times. Kinsfolk are born to share adversity. Proverbs 18:24, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. According to Proverbs, friendship is unique, unlike any other relationship we have here on this earth. When friendship is healthy and when it is from God, a friend, it says, can be better than a sibling. Because a true friend loves at all times, and not because they have to, but just because they've chosen to. Family may be there for you when your life goes off the rails. And you've probably even said it yourself, they're family, they have to love me. But not so with friendship. They don't have to. They don't have to. A true friend will stick with you just because a true friend has committed themselves to you. And you see, we all need to know that there are people in the world who aren't just stuck with us, but there are people in the world who actually see us and know us and still choose to share life with us. That's what makes friendship special, and that's what makes us long for it. But if we are not deliberate in cultivating it, we will totally miss out on it. Because genuine friendship, it doesn't just happen by accident. It takes work and it takes effort. But Proverbs says that we cannot flourish in life apart from the gift of godly friendship. Real people, it says, perish for lack of friends, or for poorly chosen friends. And here we are a few thousand years later, and that very same thing is still true today. Name one person in your life who you know who is truly alive, who is truly at peace, who really knows joy, who truly has tasted love and shares it, who hasn't a single friend. I'd argue that that person doesn't exist. And if you think that person is you, I'd argue that you are deceiving yourself. We were made for friendship, and there is no real living without it. You can exist, yes, but you cannot live. So then we ask, how do we make friends? Proverbs 27:9 says, oil and perfume make the heart glad. The sweetness of a friend is better than self-counsel. You see, when this proverb was written, sugar hadn't been found yet. No one knew how to go about and sweeten foods. Sweet food, it just had to be discovered, stumbled upon. It couldn't be made, couldn't be contrived. So when the author here talks about this sweetness of true friendship, what he's saying is that friendship, it's not something that's made or that's forced. It's only something that is discovered. The foundation of friendship, it's not just getting good and determined enough to go out today and not come home till you found a friend. If you've tried that, you've probably learned the hard way it doesn't work. The foundation of friendship, it's discovered. It's this shared affinity, this common devotion that can't be created. It can only be found, stumbled upon. Ralph Waldo Emerson, he said, friendship doesn't ask, do you love me? As much as it asks, do you see the same truth as me? Are you passionate about something I'm passionate about? C.S. Lewis, he says, the typical expression of a budding friendship is, what? You too? I thought I was the only one. What makes a friend? how a friendship starts. It isn't just wanting a friend and going out to see who's going to bite, but it's this expression, what? You too? I thought it was just me. And so how do you find a friend? Well, first, you got to know who you are. You've got to know what uniqueness you bring into this world before you're going to connect with folks who are going to become your true friends. What do you love to do? What topics can you talk about for hours? What are you truly passionate about? And when you go and do these things or talk about these things or give yourself to these causes, who is it that's showing up in those places too? Who are the people all around you that are already saying, what? You too? I thought I was the only one. Don't just go out in the world looking for a friend willing to shapeshift to become anything they need you to be. That's not going to work, and we do it all the time. Identify who you are, what you have, what makes you, you. Because you see, those who have nothing of their own, they've got nothing to share. And those who are going nowhere, they can't really have any fellow travelers with them. Who are you? Where are you going? What are you about? And who's already saying, me too? That's where you look for the foundation of a good friendship. It's discovered right before your eyes. Not forced, not created. It's already right there. Pressure's off. Just show up where you already are and listen for the me too. Real friendship, once discovered, it can't be left in that place. It's got to be built up. And Proverbs has tons to say about this, about once we found a friendship, how to forge a lasting friendship. And most of all, the wisdom that Proverbs gives us falls into these four basic building blocks. And this morning, I'm doing something different. I'm going to be a good Baptist preacher. And I'm going to give you a list that's going to have four things in it, four building blocks for creating true friendships. And guess what? All four are going to start with the same letter. C. This is good for those of you who've been in church since the 50s. You're going to love this. It's where you're at home. Four building blocks of a good, lasting friendship. Building block number one, constancy. Proverbs 17:17, a friend loves at all times. Now that doesn't mean that you spend all of your time together. That was Proverbs 25:17. Seldom set your foot in your neighbor's house, too much of you and he'll hate you. We laugh at that, and yet we all know that friend who just keeps calling, just keeps coming, just keeps talking. A true friend isn't necessarily at your doorstep, always up in your business, but she is always there. Constancy in the good times, the bad times, and just those ordinary, boring times. He's there. Simple truth this morning is you can't be a good friend without being available. It's that simple. And the truth is, so many of us simply aren't available these days. We have good intentions. We say we will be. We hope to be. But push comes to shove over and over again. We don't show up. The phone rings and we don't pick up. A good friend has to be available. And being available, he loves at all times. Meaning, when you show the fullness of who you are, the mess of it all, when you're ready to give up and throw in the towel, a good friend will not let you go to ruin. The truth is, in life, most people want to know you because you're useful to them in some way. When I was in the Middle East, I could see it clear as day. Most of the friends who acted like they really, really loved me, they really, really wanted to learn English from me. Or they wanted to know if I could help them get a green card to come back to the States with me. They liked me, but they wanted me to be useful to them. And as a pastor, here's me being vulnerable with you about my own inner stuff. One of the questions I find myself wrestling with the most inside of me is this question of, would people really want to know me and share life with me if I didn't play this spiritual role in their lives? Do people really want to know Jamie or just Pastor Jamie? I ask myself quite often. Because the truth is, most people want to know you because you're useful to them somehow. And most people you know because they're useful to you somehow. It's just true. Useful for having a good time, perhaps. Useful for getting things done. Useful for networking and so on. It's not bad. It's just life. But the people who only know you when you're useful to them, they're the ones that when your life is collapsing will say, you know, if you need anything, just call me. Your life is collapsing, you need something. A true friend is already there, holding the roof above your head, saying, I'll be here with you, even if it cost me something. If this collapses on you, it's collapsing on me too. That is constancy. You gotta be available, gotta be committed. In it, whatever comes. Present chooses to love at all times. Got a friend like that? Constant? Are you a friend like that? Building block to a real friendship number two, carefulness. Proverbs 25:20 says, like vinegar on a wound is one who sings songs to a heavy heart. Proverbs 26:19, like a maniac who shoots deadly arrows, so is one who deceives a neighbor and says, I was only joking. Both of these proverbs describe a friend who is emotionally disconnected from the other. The one is singing a joyful song while his friend is grieving. The other is taking jabs that wound in the name of humor, not knowing the other enough or caring enough to be willing to miss a laugh to protect the other's heart. True friends are emotionally connected one to another, aware of the other's deepest needs. If I can be truly happy while you're truly sad, I'm probably not your most genuine friend. If I respond to your crisis by downplaying it, saying, well, look on the bright side, it could be worse, you could be homeless, then I might not be your most genuine friend. If my escape from your difficult circumstances is to always make jokes because I can't stand in that hard place with you, I'm probably not your most genuine friend. Or if I over-spiritualize everything and give you a quick Bible verse to fix your pain because it's easier for me if you just get better already, I'm probably not your most genuine friend. A real friend is careful with your emotions. They don't put you down and then ask you to lighten up when you get hurt. They don't try to get a laugh at your expense when an audience is around. They don't call after a hard week to ask how you're doing, but then spend an hour talking about themselves. They're aware that you need time and space and comfort and care. A true, emotionally connected friend allows you to grieve without fixing you, celebrates with you without becoming jealous. When your world is collapsing, they cannot go about their lives as usual. What hurts you hurts them. What thrills you thrills them. They're not using you. They're committed to your emotional flourishing because they have chosen to care deeply about you. Their emotions connected to yours. Do you have a friend like that who's careful with your heart? A friend who has your back at all times? Are you a friend like that? They're hard to find, but worth the search. Building block of a real friendship, number three. We've had constancy. We've had carefulness. Number three, candor. That is truth-telling. Proverbs 27:5 says, better is open rebuke than hidden love. Proverbs 27:6, wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. When we are really sharing life with others, sooner or later, our friends might need to hear some hard words from us. Words that we don't want to say, but that we know for their good, they must be spoken. Words that might keep them from danger or destruction. Words that might show them how they're settling for less than God has for them. Words that reveal how their actions are hurting others, how their fears are keeping them from living. If you see something in your friend that has them imprisoned, even worse, something that's leading to death, literally or financially, relationally, spiritually, and you don't say a thing, Proverbs says that's as bad as Judas betraying Jesus with a kiss. If we say, but I just love them too much to tell the truth, what we're really saying is I love myself too much to go through that with them. I'd rather keep things status quo and watch them drown than have the hard conversation that might rock the boat. Truth-telling, candor, it's a necessary building block in true friendship. Most of us here in this room right now have friends we know who are drinking themselves to death or who are missing real life by staying slightly buzzed all the time. Is God calling you to finally have that hard conversation with them? You've been watching it for a decade. Some of us in here have friends who haven't talked to their kids or their grandkids in years, and we can see so clearly that nobody is winning in this broken relationship. Is God asking you to speak His truth and love to them? Stop just watching. Say something. Some of you know a friend who has a gift for ministry, and they're not using it at all. Is it time that you talk to them, that you challenge them to do what God has created them to do? Some of you see your friends making destructive decisions with their money. You say, it's not my business. Is it faithful to have that conversation with them? Some of you know your friends are making immoral choices at work. Is it right just to play dumb? Real friends. Godly friends speak truth to one another, not to be right, not to be their moral compass, but to be loving. That's where candor and carefulness must go hand in hand. A friend who tells the truth, even when it hurts, hurts them as much as it hurts you. Do you have a friend like that who will speak the truth to you in love when you really need to hear it? Are you that kind of friend? And finally, the fourth building block of genuine friendship, counsel. Proverbs 27:9 says, pleasantness from one's friend springs from his earnest counsel. What is counsel? It's transparency. It's a place to let your heart be known, an openness to receive another's heart. Any of you ever been to a counselor? You know you're wasting your time and your money in that place if you hold back what's really on your heart. They'll tell you from the get-go, this here is safe. Please put it all on the table. Let yourself be known. Only then can we get somewhere together. A genuine friendship includes two folks who truly let their hearts be known to one another. That is, their dreams, their fears and their hurts, their joys and their celebrations. This is vulnerable stuff. Oftentimes, they'll affirm and reassure one another in those deepest places of the heart. Other times, there will be need for poking and prodding and challenging. Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. You know how iron sharpens iron? Friction. Butting heads a little, challenging when necessary. A good, genuine friend is a good counselor. They create a safe place to listen to what's on your heart and to affirm when necessary and to challenge when needed. It can't always be praises, and it can't always be pushback and be genuine. A good counselor does both and knows just when each is needed. You know, I've done too many funerals of folks who, when their loved ones come together and start trying to put together some kind of words to honor this person's life, they realize they know a whole lot about their hobbies. He loved the Seahawks. She loved to bake pies. But they come to know very little about what was deep inside their hearts of their loved ones. They don't know what truly brought them peace and joy. What did they understand to be their purpose? What did they wrestle with their whole life long? What did they learn from their heartaches? You see, I fear too few people are letting anyone into this space anymore. And I fear too few of us are slowing down and carving out enough space for others to offer it to them. It takes time. It takes work. It takes trust. It takes investment. It takes giving a care. A true friend offers counsel, transparency, a pathway into the things of the heart. Do you have a friend like that? Are you that kind of friend? You see, when I hear these words from Proverbs, I find that I have this longing to have more friends like this. And I find that I have this grief that I'm not the kind of friend that I really want to be. And we ask this question, where do we get the power to be the friends that we need to be, to have those friends that we long to have? In John 15, Jesus is speaking to his disciples on one of his last nights on earth, and he says to them, I no longer call you servants. Tonight, I call you friends. Love one another as I've loved you. I lay down my life for you, my friends. And on that night, the entire history of the world was changed by friendship. We saw that God is a friendship. The Father, Son, and Spirit shared it together before there was time. And made in His image, we need friendship too. In the garden, God walked with Adam and Eve. Walked is the Hebrew metaphor for friendship. God made us for friendship with Him, with one another. And when you betray a friend, the way this world works, that friend usually turns on you, and for good reason. And then Jesus shows up and He says, I'm the ultimate friend. I'm going to cling to you, even at great cost to myself. He says, I'm going to pour myself out for you so you will not be ruined. Jesus' wounds are the wounds of love. The ultimate friend who said, instead of inflicting them, I will take them for you. On the cross, Jesus Christ lost friendship with God so that we might have it. He's the ultimate friend who always lets you in, who never lets you down. And if you know Jesus as your ultimate friend, You have the power to be a friend with no fear, because you are free. Free to love without fear of rejection and betrayal, because you've been loved completely. You've been promised that you will never stand alone. Make Jesus the friend your heart longs for, and you will have all the friends your heart needs. Guaranteed. The power to be a godly friend comes from our God alone. Cultivate friendship with Him, and you will grow in friendship with them. Because Jesus lost everything for us, His friends. We've got nothing to lose and a world of real friends to gain. BCC, my friends, with the power of the ultimate friend, Jesus, in you, may you go out from this place and be a friend. You've got all you need in Him. Go out and be a friend. Would you pray with me? Oh, Father God, you look at us and you call us friends. Just that truth alone is overwhelming. Unbelievable most days. You know the depths of our hearts. You know the mess. And you say, I want to be your friend. I'm going to be constant. I'm going to be always with you, always loving you. You tell us, I'm going to be careful with your heart. I'm not going to make fun of you. I'm not going to hang you out to dry. I'm going to be close when you need me to be close. I'm going to give you space when you need space. You speak truth to us in love, even when it hurts, always when it affirms. You build us up with truth. And you are the wonderful counselor, the one who tells us you can lay all your cards on the table. In this transparent, vulnerable place, I will be with you. Thank you, Jesus, for being our ultimate friend. Would you stir in our hearts this ability to receive your friendship and a desire to share it with this broken, lonely world around us? This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.